messages of Christ, for the stance of guidance and propagators of Christ, and also for those believers who are the followers of Christ. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has repeatedly instructed us to love and honor the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Every Sahabi we love, we respect, we protect, and we are bound to do this. This is our duty. Without Sahaba, laws of Islam cannot reach us. Without Sahaba, the Quran cannot reach us. Sahaba is the blessing. Every law that has reached us via Sahaba. Criticize one of them, we are questioning the authenticity and reliability of all the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, the month of Muharram has started, and various incidents concerning Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from the Mu'eed and the region. Rather unfortunate also that, for example, the incident of Karbala will be narrated, but it will be narrated and made out of proportion. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Siddiq. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is martyred, he is shaheed. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, shaheed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, shaheed. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, shaheed. Emphasis is placed on Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and national or international body takes place, then more so should be done for the other Sahaba also. And Hukman, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is also shaheed. It is reported that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave in Hijra. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who sealed one of those holes. With his foot, later on being stung or being bitten by a snake, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applied his saliva, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who his foot became better. Sahaba went all out, sacrificed everything for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of conquest of Khaybar, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fed with poisonous meat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows everything. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows everything. The dastakhan was laid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented with the poisonous meat. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala were presented with the meat. One Sahabi ate that meat, and it is reported that he passed away. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also partook of that meat. So that meat, by the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spoke up and stated that it has been poisoned. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed that bottle, removed it from his mouth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, some of that poisonous effect went up. And it is reported that during his latter times, when he was passing away, that effect of the poison was still coming. That is why ulama ikram have written that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hukman comes under the order of shaheed. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shaheed, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Firouz Lu'lu, Abu Lu'lu, stabbed him while he was making Fajr Salah. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the first of Muharram. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was shaheed, also Fajr Salah, by Ibn Mujah. This history we should try to understand. And Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, amongst the women, having high excellent character, daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is reported that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the house, was sought permission to enter the house. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala said that pass your shawl first. Nabi Kareem Salaam said, remove the shawl, passed it into the house, and then the order came from the house that you may enter now. Nabi Kareem Salaam said, inquired, O Fatima, what is the problem? Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala said that we haven't got enough clothing to cover ourselves. Who is this daughter of Nabi Kareem Salaam? Who is this? The daughter of Rasul Salaam Salaam, the best of creation. And who is Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala? There she is going to be the leader of the young women, inshallah. The mother of Hassan and Hussein. And the one who should aid Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the famous incident is recorded also, that how she removed the entrails or the intestines when it was placed upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this was their position, and this is how they lived. Clearly showing to us, and at that stage, this incident which I am reporting took place in Madinatul Munawwara, not in Makkah. And in Madinatul Munawwara, comparatively, the economical condition of the Muslims was far better. But still, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set an example. And that example went up to his families. And they portrayed it to the world. This is the quality of the Sayyid Qata. They will go hungry and they will never see other people starve. They will feed the others and they will go hungry. They will clothe the others and they won't have food. It is reported that once Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was present with Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and it was iftar time. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala rejected her with a pomegranate. And there was a person seeking food. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala presented the pomegranate to her. And she said, this is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Incident has been recorded in the life of Hazrat Rabia Basri. A little while later, a person came and presented 10 pomegranates to Hazrat Ali, stating that this is for Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who hid one away, presented 9 to her. He said, this cannot be. If they had, and if it has come for me, it must have been 10. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala inquired why. Then it is recorded in the Quran that when you do one good action, you are rewarded. This is how sure they were, how sincere they were, how full of humility they were, and how knowledgeable even the women folk were of the Quran. Today we want to educate our women folk in all other things besides the Quran, besides the Ahkam of Allah, besides Parda. And she insisted that her Salat al-Janazah or her Janazah must be taken out of the dark, so that Parda may be maintained. These things are very important, simple things, but are extremely important that we need to adhere to. Especially the laws of the woman, Parda, their education, their tarbiyah, their upbringing. That is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that if the women of Arabia are safe, than Arabians. Any country, that if the women are safe, any locality, if the women are safe, the locality can be safe. If the women are roaming and they're doing all funny things, then that locality is ruined and destroyed. You can imagine their status, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. However, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala is the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her status is the highest. Mawla Rumi, Masnavi elucidates this point. Someone inquired of him that who stated it had. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala or Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. So he replied in his time and he said that on the day of Qiyamah, when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala gets up and goes to Jannah, that she would be holding the hand of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And when Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala goes to Jannah, she'll be holding the hand of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How easily and how nicely it has been explained, that position and status. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand maqam of Sahaba and status of Sahaba, male and female. And we should not say anything against them. We should love all of them and study their lives and emulate them. We emulate them, imitate them, we'll be imitating and emulating the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability to continue with the Quran al-Kareem Tafsir Malik al-Yawmiddin. Allah Rabbul Izzah has blessed Islam with commentators, and these commentators have went at length to explain the word of Malik and Yawmiddin. As explained last week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this concept of the Akhirah straight away in Surah Fatiha, because every action of ours, if we bring the Akhirat in front and do the action, then inshallah we will do it according to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way, the pattern of how Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants us to be. Because you and I will be fearing that we are going to stand for accountability, and the corruption that takes place all around us is man loses this fear that I am not going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Persons act or behave as they start transacting and dealing as if to say they are not going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once this fear comes in the man, then whatever I'm going to say, do, or whatever I will deal or transact, or how I will behave in the dark or in the public, in the night or in the day, when I'm alone or in company, and he fears that I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically his life is going to change. Then he's going to say that everything that I do is going to be so that I be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've translated the word Maliki Yawmiddin, Yawmiddin, Yawmi Jaza, that where for the good you are going to be rewarded, and for the bad or the evil there is going to be punishment meted out. And I explain to you that this word Mali is pronounced both ways. There are two qiraats in it. One is Malik and one is Malik. Now, when you pronounce this word Malik, it means king. And when you pronounce this word Malik, it means owner. Our commentator, Alhamdulillah, has read depth and explained this point here. That some of them say we should use the word king as a translation, and some say now we should use the word owner as a translation. Each one bringing his proofs. It's so interesting to know how they go about it. The people or the commentators who prefer the word king, they say that the king has got honor, and the king is one who rules. So therefore, it is wise to pronounce this word with this concept, with this meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must remember this word, Malik Yawmiddin, gives the meaning of is it sovereign. Now, as I told you, in Tafsir I'll be talking about everything. One point comes to mind, that for example, democracy. In democracy, they define it as the government of the people, by the people, for the people. And they say this is the best system. Because they say this is practical and the man can adopt it. And they say the power rests with the mankind, power rests with the people, the choice rests with the people, or legislation rests with the people, and execution, the executive power also rests with the people, and judiciary also rests with the people. I explained to you that during the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the judiciary was separated from the executive, and the social system was introduced. And in an Islamic system, the judiciary has got maximum power. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day was summoned. And when he was summoned, then the judge stood up. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reprimanded him. corrected it. It says that you should not stand, because here everybody must be equal. I am the ruler, but when I enter the court, I must be treated as an equal. And then Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who one day came to know that his sword was stolen by a Jew, and he presented his case. When he presented his case, the judge called Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and the judge called a Jew who had the sword. The judge inquired of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that what is your proof? That I've got no concrete proof, but that definitely is my sword, I know it. And my son, he can stand with this. Then I asked him, any other proof, any other evidence? He said, no, I've got no idea. The judge ruled that first of all, your son can't stand for you as an evidence. And secondly, you haven't got any claim against the person who has brought your supposedly your sword. Therefore, you cannot win this case. No matter if that sword is yours. If you were highly impressed, then if this is the condition, if I know it is his sword, and if this is justice, that he hasn't got any witness or hasn't got sufficient evidence, then he, because he is the Amir whom we need, that justice, the favor, the ruling won't be given to his sword. In Islam, the political system is based that sovereignty is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there will be legislation in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as voting is concerned and candidateship is concerned, that is a lengthy discussion. But basically, we must come to realize that in Islam, the voter and the candidate have to have some qualities in an Islamic country. In an Islamic, truly Islamic country, where they will be voting, then the voter and the candidate will have certain qualities. For example, both the voter and the candidate, he'll have to be 5 times Namazi, he'll have to be looking like a Muslim, he'll be transacting like a Muslim, he'll be dealing like a Muslim, he won't have any accusations or allegations or committed fraud, perjury, he won't be an adulterer or fornicator. For example, that quality which is in the Imam, the Imam of the Masjid, will be the quality of the voter and the candidate more. The candidate will have more qualities attached to him than the voter. By this, automatically, candidates will become less, voters will become less, we'll have good people choosing good people. And not like the systems in democratic systems or in other systems where crooks vote for crooks. And then at the end of the day, you get judges. For example, in the United States of America, who are pure alcoholics and drug addicts, they become judges. That is their system, not our system. Say the king, upon the king, the subjects must respect him and they are subjugated to him. And upon the owner, the subject need not be subjugated or under him all the time. That's why they say you must use the word king. See, the king, when he's ruling over the place, the subject has to listen to him always. Here there is another masala, why that is, that there is no obedience when it comes to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, a parent, you have to obey him, you have to respect him, you have to honor him, you have to love him. Student and teacher. The student will love the teacher, respect him, honor him, and the student will do what the teacher says, the ustaz. Peer and murid. Peer, spiritual mentor. Murid, disciple. Now the disciple will do what the peer says, as long as the peer tells him to do what is Islamic. The parent, if the parent tells the child that the child must do something un-Islamic, deal in interest, or eat something haram, or go to a haram function, or go to a place which is not permissible in Islam, or do something which is not permissible, then the child, the youngster, or the offspring can say, I will not do that. And this won't be regarded as disrespect to the person. However, the child must not roll his sleeve and start cheering and shouting and do that. The child must just abstain from it. will maintain the respect for the Prophet and also tell him that this is not Islamic accurate. The teacher, the student, if the student is instructed by the teacher to do something wrong, absolutely un-Islamic. There was no Islamic practices and non-Islamic practices, you must come to them. For example, in this month of Muharram, a lot of wrong things take place. Like pulling the hair, beating the chest, tearing the clothing, hitting the head, scalping the head, lashing the head with razors, taking of blood from the head, taking of taziyas, painting of banners, making of alams, cooking special food, malido and all these things on special nights, cooking of halwa, not getting married in this month, not sweeping the house, wearing of black, adorning of black, wailing, crying, having lengthy speeches and lectures, at the end of the speeches crying and beating oneself, having emotional and dramatic and sentimental lectures, and at the end of the night start crying. First 10 days of Muharram, having what you call majalis, and having these majalis every night, narrating stories which are full of ingredients and masala, what happened there, and half of those things are wrong, what they narrate. Unfortunately, Prabhupada said that from pulpit, which we also think is our pulpit, they narrate wrong stories. So much they have penetrated these wrong stories that we ourselves, we think they are narrating the right stories and we enjoy it and start crying too, but we cry the wrong things. And no one seems to get down to the matter and make some good research and present exactly what happened in Muharram. As a result, you don't know what whole standpoint to hold. You don't know what political deductions to make from that. But everything happens with reciting those stories and narrating those stories in a very fashionable way. And alhamdulillah, at the end of the day, you think a very dramatic battle has taken place there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with commentators, and they say that Malik Iddas, because at the end of the Quran Kareem, Surah Nas is recorded Malik Iddas, therefore they say he was reading Malik. And those who say that he was used the word as owner, then they say that the owner can own and he can buy and sell, and he's got total control over the person. That is why we should use the word owner. And the owner, the person that he owns, then the person that he owns will serve him hospitably and will serve him to the best of his ability. And once the person is owner of someone, then he won't do something without his permission. That brings to light what hadith of Rasulullah stated that this life, for a Muslim, is it to say he is in a jail. And for a kafir, this life is jannah. This hadith requires a lot of explanation. But briefly, we must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik. He is our owner. And he is our owner in this world and in the hereafter. In this world, if we do not realize it, but definitely in the hereafter we are going to realize it. See a person in the jail. A person in the jail is placed upon restrictions. One, he is given limited facilities. He is given limited movement. He cannot do what he wants then. He has to do what those people want him to. In fact, he cannot wear what he wants. In fact, he cannot eat what he wants. In fact, he cannot move wherever he wants. Then he will go where they want him to go. And he also will be under constant supervision and observation. That is a person with him. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said a Muslim is like that in this world. Obviously, a Muslim, he must dress like a Muslim. He must behave like a Muslim. He must move like a Muslim. He must go to those places where a Muslim must go. He was abstain from those places where a Muslim does not go. And a Muslim must do those things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he must abstain, refrain from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want him to do. A Muslim will eat what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made jais for him. And a Muslim will stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told that this is haram for him. And a Muslim must have this feeling in him that I have observed. I have been noticed all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing. See, contrary to that, the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the kafir is in Jannah. He does what he wants, he eats what he wants, he goes to toilet even how he wants, he satisfies his passion how he wants, and he satisfies his passion where he wants, he goes to any place he wants, he eats what he wants, he drinks what he wants, he's got no restriction. And he behaves in such a fashion that, as if you say, no one is observing. He behaves in this fashion that there is going to be no life. See, Jannah, there is going to be no life after that Jannah. We are going to be in Jannah eternally. Eternally, indefinitely. Indefinitely meaning that we are going to be there everlasting. Hamesha, hamesha, we are going to be there. After Jannah, there is no such thing as another life. So that's what behaves like that. He feels that this is the place and this is the only place. Build the mansion, make the bank balance, get monetary progress and financial gains, and this is where he sits. And he feels that there is going to be no accountability. No one is going to catch me on my neck and tell me that what I have done. This is the kafir. But a Muslim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, he behaves as if to say it's restricted as that person in the jail. So this place when we regard it like that, and we do what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has requested us to do, then this place will become absolutely comfortable for us. And this place will become absolutely easy for us to stay in. Provided that we make up our mind to behave like how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to do. And we have got a responsibility in this world. And that responsibility is to propagate, to preach, to invite, to enjoy what is good, forbid what is evil. Once we forget this purpose, then we are not going to win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very easily. But if we maintain the purpose of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us down, see, a Muslim must realize this. That I have been sent for a set purpose. I have been sent not in vain. I have not been sent here on a play or a futile. Because this world is temporary. And this world is transitory in nature. And this world is fleeting also. And this world is something that today we have got it, tomorrow we haven't got. Man is rich today, is poor tomorrow. Man is poor tomorrow, is rich in the next world. So this world is at the ups and downs. So man must prepare. And we have to prepare for us the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's milkiyat or his ownership will be presented before us. Maliki of the king. That he will be the king, he will be the owner of the day of Qiyamah. We have to prepare for that day. See, it is logical. One very simple argument. That if you and I have to go for a journey of 500 kilometers, then we make a certain amount of preparation. And we prepare for that destination of the 500 kilometers. And if you and I have to make a journey and our destination is outside this country, then we make more preparation. Then we take a lot of things in account. And then we make our contact overseas. Then we try to make everything easy. The further the journey, or the more strenuous the journey, the more the preparation. And if you and I are going to stay in one place for 10 days, then you make 10 days preparation. And if you and I are going to stay overseas for 40 days, then we make 40 days preparation for the length of the journey and plus for the time you are going to stay there. That is logical. And for a small journey, you make very little preparation. A person wants to leave his house, go to the nearby city and buy some stuff or commodity and come back. That amount of preparation means it takes enough money to buy the commodity and come back. Now, you and I fully well understand and know that we are convicted with this belief that Qiyamah is coming and there is Jannah and Jahannam, eternal places. The journey is strenuous, the journey is long. We have to pass the Qabr, and we have to pass the Qabr, the realm of the Qabr, which is also strenuous and difficult. And there is going to be question and answer, and there is going to be trial. So we withstand the trial and tribulation of this world, and we look towards the hereafter, the Akhirah. The Akhirah which is everlasting, the Akhirah which is eternal. So how much preparation we must be making? So, keeping in view, keeping in sight the length of the journey, the difficulties of the journey, and keeping in view the most important factor, the eternal life that's coming, the eternal life of the Akhirah, then we should be making preparations 24 hours a day. That is why our deen is designed for 24 hours a day, not only 5 times namaz and siddha. Deen is not 5 times namaz, or go 5 days for Hajj, after that earn the title of Haji and siddha. Or pay your zakat and then you feel the obligation of the wealth, or that wealth, or what you can do with the wealth, now you can do what you want.